Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with an update from Caliber Mining, traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. I am chatting with the Vice President, Corporate Development and IR, Ryan King. Now, Ryan, let's get an update on some of the news releases that have come out so far just in this month of April. It's been another busy quarter for the company. So starting off with the April 14th news release, it is really just a recap of the Q1 gold production and a couple of the highlights from that quarter. Let's start off with the gold production, a total of almost 45,500 ounces produced. That was the highest production since Q3 2016. That quarter also included the first ore delivery from the Pavón Norte mine to that Libertad mill. So overall, this hub and spoke model that the company has intended to go down is functioning, and there's even more of these spokes feeding that mill or the hub. Ryan, take us through the production numbers for Q1 and just break down, again, the growth in production here.
Sure, Corey. You know, thanks for welcoming us back on the show. It's always good to be here. And yeah, no, you've rightly pointed out a highlight in Q1 for us was over 45,000 ounces of production. So we've started the year off strong, ahead of budget. So our original guidance for the year is 170,000 to 180,000 ounces of production, which again is a 30% increase over 2020. And of course, 2020 was the first full year that Caliber had ownership over the Limón, Libertad, and surrounding assets. And so this is where we implemented and started to drive our hub and spoke operating model, which again, for the viewers, is we've got two mills, the Limón mill, which is a 500,000 ton per annum mill, and the Libertad mill, which is 2.2 million tons of annual capacity. So one of the first things Caliber did when we acquired the assets was idle down one of the ball mills at Libertad to really focus on optimization on in terms of cost. So by doing that, we saved $600,000 roughly a month, and it affords us to have very strong production with a margin. And so we've got significant surplus capacity at that Libertad facility. And so therefore, rather than just processing material that is on the Libertad property, we then started to venture out looking at maybe trucking material from Limón to Libertad. And the key here is that, of course, Libertad, with limited resources when we acquired the asset, was indeed heading towards closure. So instead of doing that, Caliber stepped back and said, well, we believe that we can utilize the infrastructure in country and there's favorable haulage costs. So by doing this, we extend the life of Libertad. And so we were able to begin to do that last year. I mean, in the first quarter of last year, I think we were averaging about 250 tons a day from Limón down to Libertad. And by the end of the year, we were at about 900 or even 1,000 tons a day from Limón to Libertad. So demonstrating the value utilizing this excess processing capacity at Libertad without having to expand and put a bunch of capital into the Limón facility. So very quickly demonstrating, from a production perspective, what that could mean for us rather than heading Libertad towards closure, which was indeed foreshadowed before we acquired the assets. And now that we've, again, stepped back, look at the other assets in the portfolio and said, well, Pavón, you know, the initial approach we took there was it was a high-grade underground deposit with a small resource. I don't even think it was 43-101. We looked at it with a fresh set of eyes, announced a significant increase in resources back in January 2020. And I think at the time it was about roughly 300,000 ounces at 5 grams per ton gold and open pit versus previously viewed underground. And therefore, we started to advance that towards potentially going into production and being a satellite deposit that could feed into Libertad. And so by the middle of 2020, we actually received a permit approval after a significant number of meetings, baseline studies, environmental work, public consultations. We received a permit to start that would allow us to start open pit mining. So very quickly, we did our mine design work. We started construction middle of last year. And so it put us in a position where by January, just a couple months ago, we initiated mining and hauling from a new mining spoke that would feed into the Libertad facility. You know, again, something like that, 300,000 ounces, would probably not be big enough to afford the capital of a new mill. So this is a very accretive opportunity for us to mine from these satellite deposits and truck down to Libertad, you know, getting over 90% recoveries when we blend Pavón, Limón ores, and Libertad ores together. So this is working very efficiently, and it allowed us to get over 45,000 ounces of production. And the big key here is a significant step change in grade. So I believe last year around Q1, we were processing about 1.6, 1.7 grams per ton versus now processing a little over 3 grams per ton gold. So this model is proving to be very accretive for the operations, extending the mine life, also having higher grades, so likely leading to better margins, affording us to reinvest in the business and advance new satellite deposits, like what we've recently announced with our Eastern Borosi project. So, yeah, lots of activity happening, but we're seeing the benefits with grade and production coming through in Q1 ahead of schedule.
Now let's talk about the full year estimates or projections for the production here. The news release on April 14th says that you guys are still on track for the full year guidance. Remind everybody what that guidance is and where you see some of the, let's say, near-term growth in terms of production coming from.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, our guidance, again, was 170,000 ounces on the low end to 180,000 ounces. So, you know, if you did the analyst math quickly here, you'd say, well, oh, it looks like they're going to be on the high end based on Q1. So, you know, we're very focused. We're working hard to achieve, and we are absolutely on track to achieve our production guidance that we gave earlier in this year. And at the same time, we were probably about 300-350 tons per day from Pavón in Q1 to Libertad. And so the goal is here throughout the year is to gradually ramp up to achieve a steady state of around 1,000 tons a day from Pavón Norte to Libertad. And, you know, we would anticipate grades in line with our models, roughly about 3.3 to 3.5 grams per ton gold from Pavón Norte. So, yeah, things are looking pretty good at this point in time. And we're starting to, as mentioned, we're starting to see this gradual increase from Pavón to Libertad, which will be a solid contributor, which we've planned for, but will be a solid contributor to production in 2021.
All right, let's talk about the exploration that the company is undertaking as well, because as much as production continues to increase here, there's a lot of exploration ongoing. And that news release on April 14th, it did also highlight the 60,000-meter program that's underway. We also had a news release that came out shortly after, April 20th, that talked about the 100% owned Eastern Borosi project and that potential there to expand this hub and spoke model. Give everybody a general update, I guess, on all the exploration that's planned.
Yeah, no, for sure. You've highlighted it well. I mean, we are very active on the exploration front, and this is where Calibre, I think, differentiates from maybe a lot of our peers, is that we do have this Libertad facility, a large hungry mill that's currently being utilized at about 45 to 50% currently. So we've got over 50% surplus capacity to be able to process additional ores. Hence the reason you've seen in that recent news release on Eastern Borosi, which again, Eastern Borosi, we acquired 100% of the project last year from our previous joint venture partner when Calibre was just a prospect generator exploration company. IM Gold was our partner there. So we acquired the remaining 70% to become 100% owners of that project. Large land package, 176 square kilometers, multiple targets that have been identified through the work Mark Peterson, our VP exploration, and his consulting team, an internal team have thoroughly reviewed and identified plus 20 targets outside of the resources. So we see that as a very good opportunity. In addition, you know, we've got an inferred resource there on six different vein targets or vein deposits that have outlined roughly 700,000 ounces of gold at about 5 grams per ton gold. So not only is it a good start, but it's also good grade. You know, sitting at about 400 kilometers away from the Libertad facility, we are now analyzing and advancing that project as the potential to be the next mining spoke, like we did with Pavón, bringing it from resource through mine design construction to plant in less than 18 months. We're working hard on Eastern Borosi this year to infill drill, do some technical studies on metallurgy, geotechnical pit walls, all of the surrounding community relations work, public consultation, baseline studies. So all of that work is advancing this year because there are some key zones within that overall resource. For example, we've got Riscos de Oro. We've got this what we believe will be a high-grade open pit at Wapinol and Vancouver. So between the three, it's going to be roughly, or we anticipate that at this stage, that'll be roughly 8 grams per ton in an inferred resource. Now we'll complete the infill drilling this year, and we'll also be doing step out drilling along these structures, which again has very good potential to expand. But looking at just what we know today, we believe we've got another opportunity to add another mining spoke that could feed into Libertad within the next couple of years. And so that is a great opportunity for the company. And we're doing infill and step out drilling there, but then taking a step back, and looking, you know, back at the Western epithermal belt, Limón, Libertad, we're doing over 30,000 meters of near mill drilling to expand resources, as well as test a number of targets within those land packages that have not been drilled. We've got Pavón is an emerging district for us. So we've recently applied for over double the size of the land package surrounding Pavón, Norte, Central, and South, where we see continuous vein structures on surface. We've got two rigs turning there now, testing down plunge and along strike extensions. We have also recently begun drilling in the surrounding districts of Libertad, where we've got large land packages, a district called Amalia and El Nispero, that we have did a bunch of field work last year that identified multiple vein targets on surface that have not been drilled. So we're eager to get back there and start drilling up at those targets that are less than 30 kilometers away from Libertad. So that would be a great satellite opportunity for us. And we had on the Amalia property in early 2020, some very good drill results. I think one of the initial results there was 7 meters of 18 grams per ton gold. So a very good opportunity for us as we get back in there after doing some of the mapping and sampling and geochemical work across that old land package to help us refine our targeting. So yeah, no, in total right now, I believe we've got about 15 rigs turning on a number of targets. You know, again, the opportunity is unique for us because we have the mill in place with surplus capacity. You know, any one of these opportunities starts to turn some good results. We could potentially see, looking at expansion of some of these zones, which could therefore down the road lead to potentially lower cost and increasing our production profile. So it's at a very low cost because we've got the mill in place, right? So yeah, a unique opportunity for Calibre. Hence the reason we're investing in exploration and growth for the future.
Ryan, just a quick question then. How quickly, or time frame, general time frame, can you guys bring a project, let's say, like Eastern Borosi, into production from this exploration stage?
Yeah, it's definitely a good question. I mean, look, we were fortunate with Pavón and Pavón Norte because we owned surface rights. So one of the rate determining steps is purchasing surface rights, having a strong community relations team and public consultation that goes well, and then morphing into the fulsome EIA process. So, timelines, for example, at Pavón were very, very efficient and quick because there was a good amount of work had been historically done there. So we can't diminish that fact that there was very good work done previously by B2Gold. So now as we advance Eastern Borosi, we understand all of the steps to go from resource, let's call it, through to production. And obviously it can vary, but I think it's probably appropriate in this situation to say, I would say from start of work through to production could likely be as soon as, in this case, because we're going to be looking at an underground at Risco's and an open pit at Wampanoag, you're probably going to be within 24 months from start to finish, if everything goes according to plan. Slight forward-looking statement there. But we would anticipate the way things are going now, and as we mentioned in Q1, we had already acquired a significant portion of the surface rights we require to start the operation. And so now you're going through all of the additional technical studies and work to advance that very methodically and transparently with the host communities in which we work. So, yeah, I would say I would probably earmark it to, within that 24-month period.
Okay, Ryan, one more news release that I will really want to touch on here. Came out on April 8th, and it talked about a agreement with Rio Tinto on the Borosi property. So this is different than the Eastern Borosi property. 5,500-meter drill program is planned. This agreement with Rio Tinto was signed back in February of last year. Can you give us some more insights into what the plans are at this Borosi project, and also note that this is more of a copper focus?
Yeah, key point here is it is not the Eastern Borosi project. It does. It is adjacent to Eastern Borosi, but indeed it is 660 square kilometer land package outside of Eastern Borosi. So this is completely separate now, and we struck a deal with Rio to do an earn-in. So yeah, that was in February of last year, after a significant amount of due diligence on the geological potential, the country, the infrastructure. So this is a real validation for us that, that the geology is exactly what they're looking for. And both Calibre and Rio are looking for large copper gold porphyry systems. And in fact, we had identified one a number of years back that didn't quite get big enough, but have confirmed the presence of these porphyry-style deposits. In the previous case, it was a project called Primavera, where we had drilled on just very close to paved highways in the back of farmers' fields, low rolling hills. We drilled 270 meters of 0.8 gold and 0.3 copper. So these large systems exist there. And so the deal is that over the next, when we announced the deal, it was over an 11-year period, they could earn into 75% of those concessions, that 660 square kilometer land package, by spending $45 million. And again, looking for these porphyry type, large bulk tonnage, Rio sized projects. And this is nice optionality for Calibre and Calibre shareholders. We've got a team, we're operator. We understand the jurisdiction very well. And we have regular meetings with Rio. And after the year that was, we had identified well over 20 targets and refined it down with this initial 5,500-meter program to be focused on areas that largely have not been drilled. So their specialists had gone through and analyzed a lot of the geochemical and geophysical data that had been present and done by Calibre over the last 10 years, and zoned in on a couple of these key zones that they want to be focused in to try and have the best success on the initial drilling. And so it's, as I mentioned, a nice optionality for Calibre and our shareholders. And it would give us exposure to copper and copper gold systems. And And these are large systems that could be company maker type deposits. So, you know, we've got not only focused on our 100% owned ground to make new discoveries and expand resources, but also we've got the opportunity to do the same with Rio funding that. And so, initiating a 5,500 meter program here, that started just a little while ago, and we'll see how things go. But nice to be able to have a partner like Rio earning in and a focus on copper. So gives our shareholders that optionality.
Yeah, a whole other side of the story, right? And also having another major in the area, plus on a good relationship. So, hey, this is a very interesting story, Ryan. I really enjoy having you on the show and covering all of the growth avenues that the company has in front of them. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Ryan to address those. In the meantime, Ryan, keep us up to date on news, and let's get you back on the show here shortly.
Thanks very much, Corey. Look forward to it.